Are you ready, Santa Bruce?
Oh, yes. This portion of WEOL Spotlight on LaGrange is brought to you by your neighbor from Lorain Medina Rural Electric Cooperative, your Touchstone Energy Partner.
There you go.
What are you doing with that hat? Well, put the hat down.
No, I was going to put it over the headphones now. I'm working on a different way to look.
All right. Well.
I can tell by that look.
If you were like my daughter, you would just roll your eyes right about now, I suppose. The way that's going on for that. Craig?
Bruce? Well, we are joined today by a couple of guests. We have with us Terry Mazzoni from LMRE and also Marcus Bryant, the general manager. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Pleased to be here. Our pleasure.
Now, we've heard the announcement for the past couple of days on WEOL about the credits to customers. So, Marcus, why don't you kick off our talk today about that and what that involves and how it works?
Well, basically, at our November board meeting, the board approved a $1.3 million refund of capital credits back to our members. Every year we have some leftover money after paying the expenses, and that gets allocated to the members, and after a period of years, that's paid back, assuming, you know, we don't have any major storm expenses or things that would preclude us from doing that. So the next week, the bills will be going out, and there will be credits on most of those bills. If the capital credit refund amount is over $100, they'll be getting a check instead. So $1.3 million is going in the mail next week.
There's nothing like getting a refund from your utility provider.
He just said $1.3 million is going in the mail, but in tiny little pieces all at the same time, right?
Well, there'll be a 19,000 current and former members be receiving those refunds. So
it's a
practice that's really unique to electric cooperatives. No other form of electric utility has this kind of practice.
How does that number stack up to previous years? Is there a trend at all?
It's a record amount that we're refunding this year. We've had good continued sales to our members. And the total amount, this will bring the total amount to $18.9 million over the last 31 years.
What would you attribute the large amount for this year? What are the factors that go into something like that?
Well, part of it is we collect is a combination of good power purchases by our members and the rates that go along with that. We have to continually invest money in our system to keep up our reliability. We have one of the best outage records among the cooperatives in the state. And that takes money, and we put approximately $3 million a year back into maintaining our plant every year.
You know, you talk about outages. If I remember correctly, back in the day when we had that massive outage from Ohio to the eastern seaboard,
yes,
millions of people in the dark, you guys were still in business, right?
Well, we were still in business, but unfortunately, our transmission provider was the one that had the major outage. We did have several of our substations in the southern part of our system still on, but unfortunately up in the northern part of our system, we were off like everybody else.
Where do you get your electricity from?
Our electricity is produced at primarily coal-fired plants along the Ohio River, owned by our cooperative, Buckeye Power Cooperative. And we also have some other, we have some gas generating plants in the west side of the state. And we get about 5% of our power from renewable sources, like we have some hydropower coming out of New York. We have some wind power, and one of the other growing sources for us is biogas generation. We have several farm sites, large livestock producers, where they're collecting the manure and we're burning the methane gas to provide generation.
You mentioned coal, and I know several weeks ago, maybe a little longer back, not too far back, there was talk about some new EPA regulations regarding the coal industry. And, you know, these things are talked about every couple of years, I suppose. But what are the new proposed regulations, and how would that impact LMRE?
Okay. Well, I think it's appropriate that Bruce is dressed as Santa today, because, frankly, we think that the U.S. EPA should get some lump of coal in their stocking this Christmas. Their rules announced in September of this year amount to what we call a war on coal in this country. The practical effect is they're proposing regulations that would make it impossible for any new coal plants to be built in the United States, even though they're being built worldwide. For example, Germany is in the process of building over 20 new coal-fired plants in their country. China and India are building coal plants. And so these regulations would eliminate an affordable, low-cost source of energy for this country. Now, in the short run, that doesn't affect LMRE, because we have sufficient power to carry our members' growth needs for a good 15-plus years. The concern is long-term going forward. What do we build next when we need to add power capacity? But the other immediate danger is once EPA puts in regulations for a new source of energy, within a year or so, under the law, they have to come out with regulations for existing generation. And so the potential threat is that we may have to spend additional money upgrading our power plants, which is more expense to our members. We've just finished spending $1.2 billion to meet all the current EPA regulations for burning coal. And I'm proud to say that we have some of the most cleanest burning coal plants in the world for generating electricity. We look at our main priorities for our members is reliability of power. We have a very good outage record. But the other big issue for us is affordability. I can tell you, for many years of dealing with electric consumers, that the two expectations they have is when they flip the switch that the power is there, and then when the bill comes at during the month that it's not sticker shock. So
yeah, that's one of those things they want it right immediately there, but they want to make sure that it's affordable to their budget so that
right
that they can have it.
Well, and we've had these. Environmental investments, our rates have gone up about 3 cents a kilowatt hour over the last few years, and that's been a major impact to our members' budgets. And at some point, we have to decide as a country, when is enough enough? And so we feel that it's important for our members' pocketbooks to resist what we consider unnecessary regulations. And it's important for our state in terms of competing with other rest of the states and around the world. We have affordable electric rates in general in Ohio, and it competes very well with the East and West Coasts, which we have to ship to. And U.S. Average electric rates around 12 cents, and China and India is about 8 cents. And, that's a competitive factor. We have a lot of coal. And we think it's irresponsible to write it off, which is what these EPA regulations
do. Electric cooperatives have a voice in Washington in that matter?
Well, we have a national association, National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. We also have a political action committee known as
I saw your tie. I was going to...
Yeah, it stands for Action Committee for Rural Electrification.
ACRE.
I'm a member of that. Okay. We have
about 300 consumers who are members as well.
Right. And they actually kick in money and we also host a meeting every year with one of our congressional representatives. I think the latest one was with
Representative Bob Gibbs.
Bob Gibbs, and we've had Representative Renacci. We had Marcy Kaptur one time when we were still in her district. So our members interact locally with our congressman on these energy issues. Once a year, one of my trustees and I go to Washington, D.C., usually in May, and along with thousands of other representatives of electric cooperatives around the country. And we talk one-on-one with our congressmen and senators about energy and environmental issues affecting our industry.
So there's a lot going on beyond that light switch.
It gets
that electricity there that you guys are involved with that
right.
keep things going. And
there's a lot of effort. Our generation side of the business is we have a $2 billion company that the cooperative members own at LMRE along with 23 other cooperatives in the state. So
sounds great. Well, we've enjoyed your stopping in this morning and sharing a little bit about us. as we spotlight LaGrange and talk about the people and the things in the community, including Lorraine Medina Rural Electric Cooperative. Our guest today, Terry Mazzoni, also Marcus Bryant. Thank you for stopping in and sharing with us this week.
Thank you very much.